across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
On this Friday morning, March the 8th, 2024, nice to have you along as we head into the weekend here and wrap up our week with meteorologist Brittany Merlot off this week. So look for weather updates throughout the day on your Civic Media stations. But of course, Robin Tigerton always on duty where he says it's cloudy and 36. And he's following up on a note from Roger, who was talking about sunrise and sunset and radio stations that some were daytime only, so they had to sign on, sign off. And Roger mentioned about how WSPT and Stevens Point would sign on at 5 a.m. playing polkas. And Rob affirmed it, saying, yes, I remember my dad had to listen to polka music on WSPT before going to the barn to milk cows in the 70s. I remember a number of AM stations being on the air from sun up to sundown. And it wasn't just the daytime only stations, but there were stations that were 24 hours, but they had to be on lower power overnight. And I'd work at a couple of those where you could hear the switch in the transmitter, because one moment it would be talking like this and then be up like this. And you're like, okay, it's sunrise. Here we are. Radio station's broadcasting loud and clear.
We can't be quiet.
We wake up people like Greg Bach.
The people are sleeping right now. The weather report is 72 and sunny here in Stevens Point. And
rock and roll, here comes that polka music. Greg Bach joins us from Waukesha.
Hello.
And it's from up here in beautiful Chippewa Falls. It's a little overcast right now. 7 o'clock temperatures looking like this. It's 32 up here on Lake Wissota. It's 23 in Hayward. Park Falls at 28. Wausau 36 degrees right now. Green Bay is 39. Folks listening in La Crosse, you're at 39. Locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids listeners at 37 right now. Oshkosh 39, Madison 41, and Waukesha is at 37 degrees. So we did have the State of the Union address last night, President Biden. The thing about the president and talking about his age and his you know, his frailty and everything, one of the post-game, you know, comments that, you know, came up is that time and time again, you have people setting the bar so low for President Biden that, you know, basically, yeah, he could have just, you know, as long as he didn't, fall asleep at the podium or something, you'd have this post-speech commentary of, oh, he was great. He was masterful. He was at the top of his game. No, he's just Joe Biden. But some folks set that bar so low, and, you know, of course he's going to exceed those kinds of expectations. He knows how this works.
Yeah,
he's been doing this for a little while.
He's been around for a while, Lindsay. That should just be a T-shirt.
Lindsay. He called him out. You know, Republicans were kind of getting restless, and oh God, the booing and the heckling. And I'm like, how much wrestling do you watch and some of these other reality TV shows that you think there is anything appropriate or normal about this? And well, you know what? We'll get to the heckling and the booing in a minute, but I do want to play at least one clip off of the speech. And it's one where, again, he does acknowledge that he's up there in years, but that it certainly has taught him what to value and what to fight for as president.
The issue facing our nation isn't how old we are, it's how old are our ideas. Yeah. Hate, anger, revenge, retribution are the oldest of ideas. Yeah. But you can't lead America with ancient ideas that only take us back. You lead America, the land of possibilities, you need a vision for the future and what can and should be done. Yeah. Tonight you've heard mine. I see a future where defending democracy, you don't diminish it. I see a future where we restore the right to choose and protect our freedoms, not take them away.
So So there's the president again saying he's going to protect, you know, affordable health care. He's going to protect health care choices. He again made the pitch to support Ukraine that, you know, Vladimir Putin is not just going to stop at Ukraine if Republican pressure forces Ukraine to surrender and things like that. And then, again, getting back to the heckling and the booing, and I mentioned this last hour that I saw a clip that some Republican jerk had to yell, "You're a liar," in the middle of it. Here's the clip, and then if you haven't heard already, then we'll tell you who it is.
Oh, there we go. There he is.
A president, my predecessor, failed the most basic presidential duty that he owes to American people, the duty to care. I think that's unforgivable.
It is unforgivable. What President Trump did during the COVID epidemic, and President Biden was right to call it out. But of course, of all the many Trump defenders in there, only one had the stupidity to yell at the president of the United States, "You're a liar." And you probably guessed by now, it's Derek Van Orden.
And I have something for him.
Okay. Yeah, jackass.
It was the jackassery was just so unseemly. And of course he's interviewed afterwards, and he's standing by. He's saying, well, he shouldn't have lied. He lied. I called him a liar because he lied about Donald Trump. And it's like, Donald Trump's a big boy. He doesn't need you looking like an idiot in the middle of a speech going, "He hurt my former president's feelings." It's like, no, you can criticize the former president without expecting a member of Congress to be just a flat-out jerk. And that's what folks in the 3rd District had to put up with last night, going, "Oh, there's my congressman."
Yep, there's old drunky McYellerson.
So, all right, so there was a Republican response. I didn't see it until this morning. I couldn't believe it until this morning. I thought maybe I was watching a clip from the Barbie movie or something. Her name is Senator Katie Britt. She's a senator from Alabama. And she's Alabama's best senator because the other one, of course, is Tommy Tuberville. So those are Alabama's two senators. Talk about having embarrassments. And I could tell you the substance of what she said, but I'd rather give you the essence of how she said it. Chewing up the scenery, I mean, till the point where the scenery was dust. She was sitting in her kitchen to deliver the response, apparently to send the message that that's where Republicans think women belong when they're watching the State of the Union address. But somebody put together this 60 seconds capturing the way she had to get through this response in a way that would make the scenery afraid because it was going to be chewed so bad. Here is Senator Katie Britt.
Uh-oh. Where'd your sound go? Hold on. Give me 1 second. Technology. Here we go.
Here we go.
Like so many families across America, my husband Wesley and I just watched President Biden's State of the Union address from our living room. One thing was quite clear, though. President Biden just doesn't get it. President Biden's border policies. Of President Biden's senseless border policies. President Biden, and tonight, President Biden, Mr. President, enough is enough. We know that President Biden's failures don't stop there. Well, President Biden, and unfortunately, President Biden's weakness, the president has demonstrated. President Biden has failed. And what does President Biden do? The free world deserves better than a dithering and diminished leader.
Oh, gosh.
I gotta say.
So, the Oscars are this weekend. I think there's still time to slip in one more nominee.
President Biden.
President Biden.
Why?
President Biden.
Pat, you have been doing this longer than I have, and you worked in these halls, and you've talked to these people. And I don't believe any State of the Union rebuttal address is ever stunning. It never wins awards. No. It's never great. But the Republicans always seem to just monumentally suck at it. Like, they're just, oh my God. They always have to, like, if you could, folks, look it up. her face. At one point, I thought her eye was twitching. I thought she was just going to go into like murder stroke rage. Like she was.
Somebody said they were waiting for Lizzie Borden to bring out the axe.
I know.
Like, after that,
it just started like President Biden, and then President Biden, and then like her hand gestures, and she was just. I was like.
And the shakiness in the voice to be so dramatic. And look at this cross that I'm wearing as a necklace. That should tell you something. Like so much symbolism between the cross and the kitchen and Marjorie Taylor Greene having to wear a Make America Great Again big red trucker cap, even though the sergeant of arms told her not to. And people wearing campaign T-shirts and buttons. And again, it just seems like if you can't win on your ideas, then you go... You know, you try to win through overacting and through symbols, yep. You know, rather than just saying, here's what I want to do. But that's what we faced.
I'll say this, you know, I know that the age is a thing, but, and I wouldn't like this if a Democrat said this in a rebuttal to the State of the Union, calling him a diminished and dithering old man. I'm sorry, but Marjorie Taylor Greene, all these Republicans who are about respect and honor and America, you can make your point without being trashy. And that's exactly when the sergeant at arms says don't wear the hat, you don't wear the hat. You don't make right. a statement. Not
well,
in there.
It takes us right back to Derek Van Orden, who loves to talk about his military record, that he was a Navy SEAL and he fought for our country. Every member of the military with an ounce of self-awareness and respect knows that if there's one office you respect, even if you didn't vote for the person, it is your commander in chief.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Yep.
This is not some kind of a brain teaser. So for Derek Van Orden to say, well, I'm going to make an exception for this guy, that doesn't reflect on Biden. It reflects on him.
Yeah. Always. Everything he does. Just
it does.
Jackass.
We wondered if there's a limit to how many times we can use that word, but I think we'll go ahead and push that envelope today to think that was, you know, that was a member of Congress from Wisconsin who thought that was appropriate to do at any point in the halls of Congress. Stop trying to turn Congress into your octagon. All right.
Which that's a great
you already
statement.
Allowed to happen on January 6th. Thank you. And we don't need that happening again. We don't. And you don't need to set the stage for it again. So get out of there. If you can't treat the officers with respect, get on the campaign trail, share with us your ideas, and don't be surprised if we don't see you in the audience next year. Mark Jacobs coming along in a little bit, along with Dan Schumacher. We have more coming up after this about Oscar night. You're up north. This is National Retro Video Game Day, which is funny because this isn't retro to me. That's probably the last time that I played video games was the original Mario Brothers. And this is actually the most I've ever heard of the theme because I usually die by at this point. I wasn't very good at it.
I love this theme song. We have one of those Nintendo classics where it has all these games loaded. And I only play Mario 1, Mario 2, and Mario 3. Those are the only ones I play. I love them. I love those games so much, but I am no way a gamer. After that, I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah, when our first two grandsons were a lot younger, we had a Wii, so we played a lot of Mario Kart on the Wii, and I loved that. But I don't know that I've tried the VR goggles from time to time, and I'd need a lot more practice to get good at that. This on the text line from 93.5, the Tap and Chippewa Falls, the Saturday Night Live cast must be clobbering one another to get the chance to play the junior senator from Alabama. And as I'm going through it right now, yes, I can think that Chloe Fineman would definitely want to try to play Heidi Gardner. Oh, God, I'm missing one or two others.
I can even see them asking Cicely Strong back for a night.
Cicely Strong would totally come back for that. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Every so often when you think that politics is getting stale, you find a new character that comes in like that and is just, you know, ripe for parody because they are a self parody when they're doing things the way that Alabama Senator Katie Britt did yesterday. Speaking of retro games, let's talk baseball because the season is not far away. Only 20 days until opening day. Yeah, the Brewers opened things up 3 weeks from yesterday, a March 28th Thursday game in New York against the Mets. And then the home opener will be the following Tuesday, April 2nd, which is also Election Day. And they will be opening up the season against the Minnesota Twins at American Family Field. Let's see. The Bucks are still out west. They will be taking on the Lakers in Los Angeles tonight. 9 o'clock Central Time is when that game's going to get going. The Badger men's basketball team beat Rutgers last night, 78-66. They will close out the regular season on Sunday, 11:30 in the morning, a game on the road against Purdue. Then the Big Ten tournament begins next Wednesday at the Target Center in Minneapolis. The Marquette men's basketball team will close out the regular season tomorrow afternoon at Xavier. Then they'll be in the Big East Conference tournament next week in Madison Square Garden. They'll be back in action with a quarterfinal game on Thursday. The Marquette women face Villanova tomorrow afternoon in the Big East tournament. The Badger women's basketball team was bounced out of the Big Ten tournament last night, losing to Penn State and finishing the season with 13 wins and 16 losses. The Badger men's hockey team will host Ohio State this weekend in the first round of the Big Ten tournament, or of the conference tournament, I should say, 7 p.m. tonight, 6 p.m. Saturday, and if necessary, 5 p.m. on Sunday. The Badger women's hockey team is in the final four of the WCHA tournament, a semifinal game that they will be playing this afternoon. And in Division III, we've talked a few times about the UW River Falls women. They are 28-0 so far. So to get through the NCAA national tournament, they are going to have to start by going up against the defending national champions, Gustavus Adolphus. River Falls will actually be hosting Gustavus Adolphus tomorrow afternoon at 2 if they want to be among the final four seeking this year's national title. And in Division III men, UW-Stevens Point is also in the NCAA National Tournament. They'll have a first-round game in Michigan against Adrian College, while St. Norbert will host St. Olaf. Both games are Saturday evening for a chance to go to the national quarterfinals. All right, it's time to play Today I Learned, and I can't believe I missed this. I was looking through what's in the Up North News daily newsletter. And they talk about Barbie. Christina Lori writes something about Barbie. Mm-hmm. Today I learned two things. First is that Barbie, her fictional birthday, well, you know her fictional birthplace is Willows, Wisconsin, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
You heard that before?
Yep.
March 9th, 1959. In other words, tomorrow, Barbie turns 65.
Oh, man, I should have gotten her a present.
I know, and you did not.
I did not.
And this from Christina's newsletter, she notes that the Milwaukee Record news outlet once did a deep dive into the fictional town. And again, Willows should not be confused with Willow, which is an actual community in Richland County, but Mattel says it's not the same thing. The Milwaukee Record once wrote, and this is harsh, Willows is a smallish city, quote, like Burlington without the underlying racism, or Lake Geneva without the chain restaurants.
Like, oh, that's wow. Sounds like Tyler.
It does, doesn't it? Yep. But that they're talking about the Oscar winners, you know, because Barbie's up for, you know, Academy Awards.
Yeah.
And they talked about Oscar winners with Wisconsin ties. And that's the other thing I learned. I hadn't seen anywhere when she wrote in the newsletter that, you know, the Oscars are this Sunday. I thought, oh, that's not right. And I was looking up just to make sure. I'm like, oh, I got to let Christina know that, you know, there might be a mistake in the newsletter. No, the Oscars are this Sunday.
No, they're this Sunday. And
I was not prepared for that at all. So
I'll be keeping up on my phone. We have a show that night. Well, the Oscars will start after the show. Mm-hmm. I don't really watch awards that much, but I do want to know who's winning. So I'll just kind of keep up on my phone.
So here are the 10 nominees for Best Picture. I'm going to lead with Oppenheimer because that's probably the one that's a shoe-in, wouldn't you think? You know, and Barbie is there. And then American Fiction.
Loved it.
Anatomy of a Fall. The Holdovers. Is that the Paul Giamatti one?
Yes, it's on Peacock. Watch it this weekend. It is just...
Everybody raves about it.
It's so, so good.
Killers of the Flower Moon. Did you make it to that one?
No. No, thank you.
Maestro. Past Lives. Poor Things and The Zone of Interest.
Yeah.
The Zone of Interest. I never heard of that one.
It's a movie about World War II Germany. I think it has to do with like the Holocaust, but I don't want to go further in that because I don't want to misrepresent it. Represent it. That's not a word. Sorry. It's early.
And everybody's talking about Poor Things, which again, you know, is getting all kinds of great coverage, great reviews, but I just kind of read the plot to it because I'm a spoiler that way sometimes because I was pretty sure I wasn't going to go see it. Now I know I'm not going to see it. It's so not up my alley, you know, just based on it, which by the way, for most of you means you should go see it because Pat is very much in the minority when it comes to the Oscars.
Let's just put it this way. Poor Things up is going to be up a lot of alleys. Boom, you get it.
Moving on. Best actor nominees, Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Coleman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, Killian. Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction.
His name is Killian.
Oh, sorry. It had a C instead of a K. Sorry. Best actress, Annette Bening for Naiad, Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Huller, Anatomy of a Fall, Carey Mulligan for Maestro, and Emma Stone for Poor Things. So those are some of the top awards that folks will be looking for. And I mean, are they going with a host or are they doing the host list thing this year?
I can't remember. I think, is Jimmy Kimmel hosting it again for the last time maybe?
I don't know. See, obviously I'll watch it and I'll even watch the red carpet stuff, even though again, much like when I watch TMZ, I'm like, I don't know who these people are, but they're, you know, I'm entertained by the gossip and I'll be entertained by what they're wearing. But I just hadn't even thought about it. Well, that music tells me that it's about time for me to scamper out and rescue the princess. I'll see if I can't do that before Mark Jacob joins us next here up north. Live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio.
We're off.
No, we're not. We got 10 more seconds.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, sorry.
Talking about retro video games, this from on the text line, Lynn from Oconomowoc. Tetris player here. My husband and I would sit in our recliners and link our kids' Game Boys together. After years of intense competition, I developed Game Boy thumb, and my orthopedic surgeon removed the trapezium bone to alleviate the pain. Lynn, that is serious dedication. And seriously, that's an expensive habit right there. But again, if you get to do video games with the grandkids, I suppose that's a good thing. But happy to hear your retro video game story as well. You can use our text line at 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. Let's bring in Mark Jacob, now author of the Stop the Presses newsletter, to talk about the State of the Union and much more. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Doing great.
All right. Well, I said it before. I've seen it in other commentary after the State of the Union speech. The thing that Biden's critics, well, and frankly, some of his supporters do, is they set the bar so low. They have such a view of Biden, a negative view of Biden. It really doesn't take much for him to step over it and say, hey, how do you like me now? And I think he did that again last night.
I think a lot of people, even people who detest Trump, have bought into the hype, you know, and when you see what happened last night, you see that it's what you got is an old guy who still has his senses and can speak in a coherent and sometimes very forceful and dynamic way for 45 minutes to an hour and, you know, and make points, banter with the crowd, you know, and is not afraid. The thing about it, and I was watching TV this morning, and there's one of these MAGA super PACs is putting on commercials, just picking out a couple times he stumbled or he, you know, said some sort of a gaffe or coughed or whatever. If you want to pull out those little sound bites and little clips and run them together, you're going to make him look like he's a frail old guy who can't do anything. But you could do the same thing with Trump for sure. And you could do it with, frankly, you could do it with me. I mean, if you want someone to follow me around with a camera and see when I slipped on the stairs, you know, I'm in big trouble. I'm not going to run for president.
Right. But again, it's that intellectual dishonesty that you see in right-wing media, again, that turns everything into theater. Because anytime we're talking about the theater, if we're talking about speaking, right, if we're talking about mannerisms, if we're talking about applause versus booing, we're not talking about the actual ideas. And the president was trying to put some ideas out there, a couple of new ideas. But I think also just a lot of a rehash of the current ideas to remind people there is a real clear difference these days between the parties.
Right. I mean, he's talking about stuff like capping a prescription out of pocket expenses, which would affect millions of people in a very positive way. And really, I mean, come on, I don't think we had to worry about Big Pharma making enough money. So things like that really matter to people. But so much of the political media and the right wing, propaganda industry want to distract us from stuff like that. They'd much rather talk about, he's old, or, Pat, the funny thing last night was I was watching Twitter and the right wing is talking about, boy, he's shouting. He's, in effect, they were criticizing him for being too forceful and being too, too energetic.
Too vigorous. Yeah.
I know it's hilarious to me that obviously it doesn't matter. And, a lot of their press releases about his speech were issued before he even gave the speech. So it's, right, so there's no intellectual honesty going on around here.
No. And again, if you're going to pick on, mannerisms and acting and things like that, I mean, then you open yourself up to say, well, let's talk about that Republican response from Alabama Senator Katie Britt, about whom Secretary Pete Buttigieg's husband, Chasten, wrote, acting classes, they aren't free, but they sure are worth it. I mean, I had never heard of her before, and it was, again, an interesting choice. There's always these interesting choices by Republicans on these responses. They never seem, again, we're not asking you to hit a home run, but try not to trip over the bat.
Well, she was just an interesting choice because, she's a, anti-abortion rights person from the state of Alabama, which banned IVF for a while, at least, until, as the Republicans are now scrambling to try to fix that temporarily until the election. But she also, she did her remarks from the kitchen, which is like a weird choice, when in an era where we're worried about women having rights and the women's place in society. And I mean, yeah, it was bizarre. It did come across like somebody who was trying out for the high school play and was not going to get the part. I mean, it was, because she's suddenly, I don't know if you've seen it or if our listeners have, but they ought to go back and look, because she's on the verge of tears a lot of the time. And then she's smiling really, like she's not on the verge of tears for like 15 seconds. And then she's back on the verge of tears. And then it is a bizarre performance, I must say.
Well, let's go from how the Republicans treated it to how the media did. And you and others, we can only try to compete with an account called the New York Times PitchBot, which predictably sometimes comes up with the most ridiculous headlines that the New York Times actually puts out. And here's one that predicts a New York Times headline, quote, Biden's failure to drop to the ground and do 20 push-ups during the State of the Union has Democratic insiders worried. And again, that's not too far off the mark about how media cover speeches like these.
Right. He wasn't very, he didn't push unity. He's not bringing us all together. Well, he tried to bring people together, but that's not happening. The Republicans, they want victory. They don't want unity. And they're not. Marjorie Taylor Greene is screaming stuff at you and stuff like that. I mean, it was very encouraging to me that he came out forcefully. He was talking about Ukraine right from the get-go and how the Republican Party needs to stop enabling Vladimir Putin and needs to defend democracy, in Ukraine. He came out very forcefully about a number of subjects, about the border and about how, the Republicans want to talk about the border, but they don't want to pass a border bill. And that's really what needs to happen here. I think it was a big home run. I mean, he's an old guy. He's going to make mistakes, and he made mistakes 20, 30 years ago. I mean, that's just him as a politician. But I think that the speech tonight, last night, really put the lie to a lot of this disinformation that we've been seeing, especially and not just from the right wing, but also from the news media.
Yeah. I know that in some cases, people were quoting former President Trump almost in real time as he was tweeting along on his tiny social media network. But I feel like, again, what you want to avoid there, if you're in the media, is you want to avoid stenography and just say, mm-hmm. well, Trump said this. But I saw a lot of that without anybody following up to say, yeah, but that was wrong, or that's a lie, or here's what you really mean. Again, there's still not enough of that, even if they're just reading Trump's tweets.
Right, right. And that's why, you know, that's why it's so important that when you are reporting lies by politicians, that you put them in the frame of a lie, that you lay out the facts, that you say that they're saying things that are not true. If you feel like you have to quote them, and I understand you're in the middle of a political campaign, so you have to quote both sides. I mean, that's just part of what news organizations are supposed to do. I'm not saying that I'm calling for a blackout on coverage of Trump, but really, if you kind of cast his statements, you know, in a frame of what's true and what's not. And really, Pat, they lie all the time. They just lie all the time. And that's why one of the things I've been really talking about a lot is not just fact-checking, but fact-crusading. I think that the news media need to be offended by the fact that the Republican Party is assaulting the truth and constantly lying, and the news media need to decide that it's their job to defend the truth and defend facts. That doesn't mean like saying go vote Democratic. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm saying they've got to be in defense of the actual facts of where it's going. I mean, the Republicans are still saying that the economy sucks. It doesn't suck by any measure that you look at. And I mean, the U.S. economy is way ahead of, you know, the rest of the world as far as how much it's recovered from the pandemic. I mean, and they keep on talking about how crime is up. Crime is not up. Crime is down in dramatic ways. I mean, which are measurable by actual numbers that you can look at. But so the news media need to defend the facts. They need to be advocates for the truth. They need to be fact crusaders.
But it's tough to do when they're soft pedaling what the truth is. And that takes us to our next subject. And the thing that I think has probably kept you busiest over the past few days, and that is the media reaction to finding out who the Republican nominee for governor is in North Carolina. And the New York Times starts off by calling him a fiery outsider and a firebrand. And you were quick to lead the charge going, hey, New York Times, where's Holocaust denier in your headline? And they did eventually make a change, didn't they?
They did. They eventually had to go back and put some of the anti-Semitic history of Mark Robinson. And, you know, Pat, Mark Robinson is lieutenant governor of North Carolina now. They're electing crazy people. And he is completely out of his mind. I mean, this guy's defended the Kent State massacre. I mean, there's a long line of things that he said that are just completely outrageous. And most people have heard maybe one or two of them, but they haven't heard. You could go all down the line. He's mocked the Parkland school shooting survivors. He's called LGBTQ people filth. I mean, he's doing the whole Obama birtherism stuff. I mean, he's called Muslims invaders. It's crazy how crazy he is. And for the New York Times to say, well, here's another candidate. He's a fiery outsider. No, he's a guy who's had three bankruptcies and failed to pay his federal income tax in 7 different years. And not just in the distant past, but not that long ago. So the guy is completely a mess. I mean, he makes Herschel Walker look like a good candidate. And so the New York Times needs to say that. They need to just say something that's obvious and based on facts, not opinion, facts.
And you can certainly do that as well with the announcement from Senator Mitch McConnell that he's going to be stepping down as Republican leader. And we've made the case repeatedly here already about somebody working so hard to put country over party that, you know, history is not going to be kind to him. But again, as far as how the media covered it, what did you make of that?
Well, you know, what was really disappointing in the main clip when he, you know, announced that he was going to endorse Trump and he did face the press. Someone asked him, well, how can you do this when you've said that, you know, it was a shameful day and that Trump bears responsibility for it? How can you endorse him? And McConnell had a weird answer that didn't get followed up right. And he said, well, I said in February, a month after the attack, that I would report, I would endorse the Republican nominee. And I'm just standing by that. Well, that's not a justifiable answer. That's in effect saying that, you know, that if Satan was nominated for president, you're going to support him. I mean, it's the news media as a whole. I mean, the next person who had the question should have said, well, wait a second. So why are you endorsing the Republican nominee, even though you say it's a terrible person? Why are you doing that? Doesn't that show a regard for the Republican Party over the best interests of the United States of America? I mean, people need to be asking direct questions like that. Mitch McConnell is just a terrible guy. I mean, he's done disastrous things to this country. He's the reason the Supreme Court is in the bad shape it is in now. He stole a Supreme Court seat from Obama. He could have just with one vote, because people would have followed him, with one vote in that second impeachment, he could have said, all right, I'm gonna vote to convict Trump, and therefore he can't run for office. He could have done it. He's the one person who, if he would have decided to convict Trump, he could have prevented him from running for president and threatening our democracy with a dictatorship.
And he did not. And we don't have time to get into it, so I'm just going to close by saying that there was some great fact-checking done when Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley had the audacity to talk about American, you know, energy dependence, and everybody jumped on him, noting that, you know, we now have the highest oil production in U.S. history right now here in the U.S. It was just a flat-out lie. They called him out on it, but it wouldn't happen without people like you and others monitoring these things. Mark Jacob, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
See you then.
All right. Coming up next, Dan Schumacher helps us kick off the weekend. We'll go over things that are happening in the world of sports and more live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're only here to make you. We're only here to make you.
Do me, man. Do me.
Nice. You know what? Folks who aren't watching the live stream right now, Dan was just listening intently and then just started like bopping us like, yeah.
Yeah. A little morning dew.
This is pretty much how I see. When I do get to see Dan, if I walk into a local watering hole, I'll hear the jukebox playing this and he'll have his head down and just moving along to it. And I'll know all is right with the world when Dan can just be in his happy place.
Yes.
Mr. Schumacher, how are you?
I'm well. Right. You know, 57 years old. I think I'm going to fight Mike Tyson. You
see Mike Tyson? Yeah.
No. What?
Did you see that? Mike Tyson just signed a deal. He's going to fight in July or June, a 27-year-old other heavyweight.
Aaron Paul.
Yeah. Aaron Paul?
Yep.
Oh, boy. Is this the one that Netflix is going to carry live? Is that the, because I heard Netflix was going to do like live carrying of fights now.
Well, they just did.
I don't know about that.
Okay. They just did a tennis match between Carlos Alcaraz and Nadal. Just one match. That was it. So I think they're going to start doing these like special bringing the She's best of the best.
Okay. Yeah.
Can't believe he's going to fight at his age, you know. But boy, they showed him on TV warming up. He looked pretty good.
Well, wait a minute. Now you were invited to an NFL draft camp or something. What was your
Jake Mine? Paul? Yeah. It's Jake Paul.
Jake Paul. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, Dan. You were.
Yep. 89.
In 89, you got to look back. So I just say you go back to that team. You walk back onto that camp and say, you know, I'm ready.
Right on. That means I have to go put my head between my tail between my legs and go to the Green Bay Packers. That would be horrible.
Yeah, that might not work out for you. Might not work out for you so much there, Mr. Bear.
Hey, guard's not on the hot seat no more.
No.
He won last night.
Yep. Well, now let's just make sure that, you know, they don't, you know,
mess up. I got to come up with these better phrases.
I didn't catch what
in the Big Ten tournament or the NCAAs.
The Big Ten starts this week, so I was wondering what their seed was. I know Illinois is the number two seed somehow because Michigan State beat Northwestern, things like that, all kinds of combinations. So Big Ten tournament starts this week, and,
starts, I don't know what Wednesday. To see.
Yeah,
starts Wednesday at Target Center, which I thought every year it was in Indianapolis. Yeah. What they're moving it around now?
Actually, I thought it was always at the United Center in Chicago.
You're right; it was there for many years too. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know what the story is on that, but it'll be at Target Center this time around. The Badgers will close out the regular season this Sunday at Purdue, and again, that's 11:30 on Sunday. You can catch that game on several Civic Media stations. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more. And then next Wednesday for the Big Ten tournament there. The women's Big Ten tournament at the Target Center. The Badgers wrapped up their season falling to Penn State, and they finished the season 13 wins, 16 losses. The Marquette men's basketball team, they're going to close out the regular season tomorrow afternoon at Xavier, and then they've got a Big East Conference tournament quarterfinal game Thursday at Madison Square Garden. So, I mean, Gardy's off the hot seat, but Marquette, I think, is where more people are going to start watching starting next week.
Sure. Did you see that clip at the Marquette UConn game this week where you had Eberflus from Chicago Bears head coach and LaFleur sitting next to each other courtside for that game?
Oh, yeah.
No. So you had both head coaches sitting together. I would like to have been in the seat next to them to hear what they're talking about.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know?
Yeah, that would have been a great conversation.
No, Shaka's done an unbelievable job. I think if I'm Mr. McIntosh, the athletic director at Madison, it worries me a little bit because you're supposed to be the show in town and Marquette is not. You know, Marquette's considered still a mid-major, but he's done an amazing job no matter where he's gone from. You know, he was at Texas and won, so Marquette's in a good place right now.
Top 10 in the country isn't mid-major. I know the Big East isn't what it used to be,
right?
But still pretty respectable there. The Milwaukee Bucks are still out west. They will be taking on the Lakers in L.A. tonight, 9 o'clock Central Time is the tip. Catch that game on Oshkosh Air Support, News from the Center, Lake Erin Amory, WRJN and Racine, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. Again, civicmedia.us to learn more. And let's not forget the thing that excites me most, and I don't have the Cubs schedule in front of me, but I know the Brewers begin things 20 days from now, 3 weeks from yesterday, in New York to take on the Mets on March 28th, and the home opener is Tuesday, April 2nd against the Twins. So you get to get excited for your Cubs before too long, too.
Yeah, they got a W yesterday. I actually watched part of that game. What do you call it, preseason game or whatever?
Yeah, a little exhibition.
Spring training, exhibition.
Spring training, so, whatever.
Yeah, it was a practice. Day that, of course, they had a great crowd. I mean, the Cubs draw no matter where they go. You know, it's crazy. So,
have you, Greg, seen how Craig Counsell's been turned into a meme now?
Yeah.
With that picture of him in a Cubs uniform shaking his fist in the
dugout? My friend John Egan started that up in Green Bay.
Seriously?
Yeah, he did it, and then people see, he's like, yeah, go John Egan.
That's still one of the strangest moves in the offseason to see Counsell go to the Cubs.
Oh, it's so strange. I'm still...
Well, he also said some kind of, I don't know, like, I didn't, like, we talked about this a lot when it happened, and then he made a comment when spring training started or, like, when they, like, did an event, and he goes, it's good to see people actually out here. Makes you feel like he made a comment about the size of the crowd. And I was just like, you didn't have to do that, man. I mean, yeah, you're going to the Cubs. No. It's a bigger team. What did you expect?
Yeah exactly. Yeah. What's happening up at Northland College there in beautiful Ashland?
You know, spring season is in full swing. Baseball and softball are just going to be coming back tomorrow from Florida from their Southern trip. So, softball didn't do very well, but baseball had a good run. They were 500. So things are looking up on that particular squad. I'm heading back to Ashland from Chippewa Falls here today. We have two games this weekend of lacrosse at home. So I need to get back to campus for that.
But how nice is it not to have to deal with, they're coming back and your spring sports don't have to wait for, 10 feet of snow to melt.
No,
you
know? No, the grass is good. They were practicing before they left for Florida. They were actually practicing on the baseball and softball field instead of the football stadium, which has artificial turf. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been an unbelievable spring, and the things that we've gotten done to fix the field, to get it ready for the spring. These great weather days have been great for our maintenance department to really work the fields and get it in top-notch shape.
And we don't thank those people nearly enough. Dan Schumacher,
not nearly enough.
Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time you're down in Chippewa.
I'll be down next week.
All right. Greg, have fun at the Laughing Tap tonight. We'll see you on Monday morning. And again, thanks to Greg and thanks to all of you for it's been kind of a long week with the laryngitis and then the sick day and everything else. But hopefully we're going to have ourselves a nice, normal week tomorrow. Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you Monday morning.